No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history.
Simulations showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go.
From director Clint Eastwood, critics are calling it a triumph. 5 stars.
Brace for impact.
What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Sully, Miracle on the Hudson. In cinemas December 2nd. Certificate 12A.
Yeah, so the guy was called, do you know Theo Janssen? Does that ring a bell? Has he ever tweeted you?
Doesn't, no.
I think he's foreign, because he, in broken English, he basically said, I really enjoyed listening to the pod, but last week I said, don't buy football tickets, become a journalist and you get them for free. And
yeah,
he sent
I
a
remember.
Message saying that I was a pompous prick, and that I needed to, if I didn't apologise, he would stop listening to the pod.
Okay, should we put that at the start? This can be the intro, and this can be
this
your
apology. Under recording.
This is recording.
Fine,
so.
I'm really sorry.
Yes.
I'm not.
Hopefully it's accepted. Welcome to episode 33 of the Tottenham Way podcast. Just me and Dan this week. It's a classic episode, Dan.
El Clasico.
El Clasico. Back to our roots. How are you doing, Dan? How has your week been?
It's been a good week. Spurs aside, I thought it was a disappointing week for Tottenham.
Yeah, yeah. But personally?
Personally, mate, fine. I can't complain.
You had a busy week, didn't you? Did you not? Did you meet some... Ex-Spurs, didn't you?
I did meet some ex-Spurs, yeah.
Of various different generations.
Yeah, on Wednesday I went to the West Ham game. On Thursday I went to the London Football Awards as press. No, I wasn't invited to the awards.
Yeah.
Not yet. And I met, not yet, give it time. And I met Pat Jennings, Ozzy Ardiles, Cliff Jones, Gary Mabbutt and David Ginola. Ledley was supposed to be there, but he was late. He missed the press reception.
Mate.
I was gutted, actually. The main person I wanted to speak to, ESPN told me to go along and get as many kind of Spurs people as I could, but the main person I really wanted to speak to was Ledley, and he didn't do the press bit, which
he
is a shame.
It.
Well, I think he's only got one knee, Tom, so he
could have been walking.
He struggled to get there on time.
That's fair.
But, yeah, mate, it was really good. Pat Jennings and Cliff Jones were, as you expect, just absolute gentlemen.
They've been doing this for years, haven't
they? Yeah, they were. You could tell they were very passionate about Spurs. That came across from all the players I spoke to, actually. Pat Jennings obviously played for Arsenal as well, but he referred to Spurs as us and we.
Nice.
And he...
Go on, Pat.
Yeah, he was asked if he had any split loyalties, and he said, absolutely not. I want Tottenham to win. I want Tottenham to win the league. But then he said...
He said,
I want Tottenham to win the North London Derby and the league. But he did say, if Tottenham can't win it, then I want Arsenal to win it. But he's in a unique position of being a kind of legend for both clubs. I don't think there's anyone else you can say that about.
No, that's fair.
Ozzy Ardiles ran away from the press about 3 times, so I didn't really speak to him.
I nearly got run over by Ozzy Ardiles.
Really?
Yeah, funny enough, before the North London Derby in 2010, I think it was, or maybe afterwards when everyone was walking back to the train station, and he just zoomed out of the car park. His driver took him out, and he was in the front seat. Quite obviously nearly hit me as well, like really blatantly, to the point where, you know, me and the driver were kind of almost nose to nose or bumper to nose.
What, you squared up to him or
no,
was
no,
that
no,
close
the,
to
the car was that okay. close, yeah. And Ozzy was just vacant. Did not seem to care that he'd almost been an accessory to manslaughter.
Well, I've heard that Ozzy's really nice, but he just was determined not to, they were kind of, it's hard to explain, but they were sort of funneled through this mix zone kind of behind a bit of tape, and then they were supposed to do interviews. They were supposed to stop and talk to you if you wanted them to, And he literally got to the end of the mix zone and just sort of ran off. And this happened like three times.
he was just determined
he wasn't going to do it. Ginola was... Gary Mabbutt was extremely nice and gave everyone loads of time. Like, he was late to sit down. Well after the event had started, he was still giving people time upstairs. And Ginola was just everything you'd imagine Ginola to be. Really charismatic. Really arrogant, but he pulled it off in a glorious
way. You can
way.
Do it, yeah. As a footballer, especially in particular, I think you can how Ibrahimovic does it.
Yeah,
it's arrogance, but it's entirely almost endearing, and it's half of the appeal, isn't it?
He was asked about Dele Alli, and he was asked about the comparisons between himself and Ali in wake of the goal at Palace.
Yeah.
And he just said something like, if he's being compared to me, that is a massive compliment for him. and he was asked about, he nearly joined Arsenal in 1995 before he went to Newcastle. And
someone
said, yeah, apparently David Dean called him up and tried to hijack the deal, but he'd given Keegan his word.
Right.
And someone said, have you got any regrets? You know, Arsenal went on to win 3 league titles, 5 FA Cups, you know, do you regret it? And he was like, you can live life in two ways, with regret or with nostalgia. I choose to have no sorrow, no regret, only nostalgia. And I was like, you are a god.
Yeah, he's so French as well, isn't he?
That is perfect.
What's so great is if you'd have asked a ex-England international like Shearer the same question about going to United, it just would have been... it's my boyhood club, so of course I'm not. Just so dull and boring and grey. But speaking of grey, Ginola really is like silver.
Yeah,
now,
he pulls it off again. Yeah. He just pulls it off perfectly.
He's how I imagine Gary Lineker thinks he looks. You know, because he's got a bit of a goatee now as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of Arsenal, it was mentioned. Yeah. When we were talking, just
lovely segue.
Yeah, it was. I meant to do it before I said the silver thing about his hair, but it didn't happen, so never mind. we usually go in chronological order on the podcast, but we can't really do that, I don't think, this time, because it's just too much to talk about with the Arsenal game. We will talk about West Ham afterwards, but there really is only one place to start. Now that it's been 2 days since it was the early kickoff on Saturday, wasn't it? So we've had a bit of time. A lot of people have kind of reacted very instantly in a variety of different ways as well. There were some people that were quite almost flippant of it and didn't think it had any significance on anything. And there were some people that really doom and gloom thought that this was almost a watershed moment for us to suddenly drop off the pace in not just the title, but also the top four. How do you see it? Is it a bit of a balance? Will we know until the next game?
I think the truth is probably somewhere in between. I think it was a bad week for Tottenham. There's no point in pretending otherwise. If you compare where we were this time last week when we were talking about the Swansea game with Ollie and Harry.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before we started recording how optimistic we were and we were thinking we could get 6 points from those two games, so it has been quite a bad week.
Could have been worse,
but that's the thing. It was disappointing, but it could have been a disaster.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if we hadn't have pulled it back against Arsenal, turned it around, it would have been a disastrous week. Yeah. But as it is, given the other results, given that we got a point in that game, we're still. You know, not much has changed. It wasn't that long ago that Leicester were 5 points clear and we were doing the chasing. We're still second. We're still doing the chasing. We've still got a cushion on Arsenal, which is essentially 4 points because of our goal difference.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's reason to remain massively optimistic, but it wasn't the week we all wanted.
No. Where do you think it leaves us? Well, you said that it wasn't that long ago, but games are running out, aren't they, for us to make up the difference against the Leicester side who...
I think now it's really advantage Leicester. They just don't look like they're going to drop off.
Yeah, they look like they're happy for everyone else to squabble amongst themselves and drop points against each other because they haven't got to face anyone. I don't think.
Yeah, it was.
Only maybe United that they've got to go away to. Left.
That's not the game it was.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, Leicester, a few months ago, it looked like Leicester were just kind of riding this wave of form players and direct positive football. But now they almost look like a sort of well-oiled winning machine that are just going to storm to the title, don't they? And that is frustrating. It's so frustrating. But it does seem to be advantage Leicester at the moment. But we're still there, and we've got two of the kindest fixtures we could have possibly hoped for now.
Yeah.
Villa away and Bournemouth at home. We've just got to make sure we get maximum points from those two games.
Yeah, I think another good point to say is that we are as close to the title as we are to fifth. We're now 5 points off the top, and we're also 5 points ahead of, I think it's West Ham now in fifth.
Cause only United, 5 points now?
I think so, I'm sure of it. Because Everton couldn't see out a... I mean, I know we're one to talk, but... Yeah, in a wider context, it wasn't as disastrous as it could have been. But for the game itself, I sensed... I mean, we were kind of messaging through the game because neither of us managed to go in the end.
No, I got bumped.
You did get bumped. It was really, really unfortunate.
Yeah, brutal.
But we were kind of messaging each other through the game. And when Alderweireld scored, there was that relief, that moment. When Kane scored, I felt... identical to last season when Kane scored.
Yeah.
But it's quite important to note the two major differences then was that it was a little bit later on last season when Kane scored his second.
Yeah.
And it was very much a winner and knocked the stuffing out of them. But this time against 10 men, I think we were a little bit overconfident and I think we switched off. How do you see the equaliser, and do you think that maybe we'd emotionally drained ourselves? Because we were on messaging, I was like, I'm in tears at Kane's goal. I went absolutely bananas.
I lost control of my emotions.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, my phone switched itself off because I was like, you know when you kind of move as much of your body as possible?
Yeah.
And things just happen around you. Like, you look around and suddenly you've broken a lamp. I was just going absolutely bananas in my front room. And I just wonder if we maybe thought the game was won.
Well, I did. I thought the game was won. Yeah, that's maybe the players did as well. I don't know. I thought the game was won because, I thought it was going to knock the stuffing out of Arsenal. And they had 10 men, obviously. Yeah. And I just think this team, I suppose I really trusted this team to see it out in that position.
Yeah,
and that's not to say that I'm pissed off or... disappointed in them, but I trusted them to see the game out from that position. And really, we shouldn't have been drawing the game from that position. From 2-1 up,
really nearly.
Yeah, we did. From 2-1 up at home against 10 men who were on dreadful form and short of confidence, we should have been winning that game. And that is quite galling.
What did you make of the goals?
I thought it was interesting. Adam Nathan, friend of the pod, he made some interesting points on Twitter, and he was saying really both their goals were a result of a couple of bounces of the ball, I don't disagree with. I think what struck me about both the games, West Ham and Arsenal, was aside from Kane and Ramsey's finishes, which were superb, they're both terrible games of football in terms of actual quality in the final third.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it was
blood and thunder. But
yeah, it was proper like Premier League, no midfield, no final ball. Just we're going to battle.
Yeah.
And the defences are going to be against the strikers, and then that's about it.
Yeah,
I agree. What both games were to me.
Do you think a lot of that, particularly in the Arsenal game, actually, no, you can say that for the West Ham game as well, is that in West Ham game that we had no. Ali and Dembele didn't start, and against Arsenal they were quite clearly not quite fully fit. I thought Dembele had a really good game.
Dembele was great,
but he doesn't. He can. I reckon he's one of those that you can mask being 90% fit because of the sort of game that he plays.
I didn't think Ali was fully fit against Arsenal, and Poch admitted that afterwards, which makes his. We'll come on to it, but it makes this ban for Dortmund a real blessing, actually, because it means Pochettino just can't pick him, even if he'd be tempted to. It was they were really lacking in quality, the games, and so in a way, that Arsenal goal, it was a bit scrappy, it was a bobbler, it came as a result of a couple of unlucky deflections, but it was they were both poor goals for Spurs to concede.
I felt like,
and I did think, I did wonder for the first time whether we really missed Vertonghen.
Yeah, that's a question for later. Definitely, someone's raised.
Oh,
that.
Fine. But yeah, as a quick point now, I don't think we're conceding both those goals if he's playing.
Yeah, I think what we've always said when we've lost games is that. And I know we didn't lose this, but what we've said before is that when we lose games, we lose them as a team.
Yeah.
And everyone is collectively bad. You can very rarely pinpoint one person. And that's what it felt like for both goals conceded on Saturday. I felt like the whole of the defensive unit could have done better, individually yeah. and collectively, because the first goal, Wimmer and Alderweireld were both pulled over to Welbeck, who ran us ragged.
Yeah, he was annoyingly good.
But they were both sort of sucked towards that. And then in the end, you've got Rose up against Bellerin, who had three options. He could take it outside, he could shoot, or he could pass.
Yeah.
In the end, he takes the third option. Rose is on his arse, and then Alderweireld is trying to come across to cut out Ramsey. And even you could even argue that he puts Lloris off because Lloris gets a hand to it. And I think the second goal was avoidable as well. The whole unit was a little bit...
A bit ragged.
Yeah, you can see in some of the footage that Danny Rose is at least 10 yards off of the rest of the back line, and that sort of suggests that maybe Dyer and Mason and whoever was left on the pitch out of Alley and Dembele hadn't quite trapped their runner. It was such an avoidable second goal, particularly against 10 men, I think.
Do you worry that West Ham exposed our back four, exposed the limitations in our back four, and maybe other managers, including Wenger, might have now picked up on that?
Maybe. I don't think there's that many vulnerabilities. Every team is beatable. There is a way of beating every team.
But we'll come on to it. I'm not sure I completely buy this, but there was a big school of thought after the West Ham game that Poch had basically been out-tacticked by Bilic. Who did push his wingers up really high onto the fullbacks, and Emenike, the centre forward, was pushed really high on the centre halves as well, which did stop Spurs building from the back. I'm not sure I buy that's the reason why Spurs lost or didn't play their best.
In the Arsenal game, I only saw
Welbeck was also pushed right up.
Saw it two or three times throughout the whole game where he would, because if you stop Lloris distributing, then you stop a lot of what we do. But it just seems like a long time for someone to have worked that out and for us not to have changed it. Do you know what I mean? It seems like we're too far along in the season for someone to suddenly go, oh, actually, if you push their centre-backs, then that's a way of beating them. We're in March and we've been on ridiculous runs and no one's done that before.
Yeah, but all it can take is one manager to have a light bulb moment.
What I mean is it seems too late for... Yeah, I get what you're saying, but then how bad are these other managers that were coming
up against? I'm not saying I actually necessarily agree with it. I'm not sure what I think of tactics. Yeah. I'm not very good when it comes to tactics. But I do wonder whether that is something we might have to deal with a bit more now.
Yeah, maybe.
Because
this is...
it stands to reason that if you're playing Tottenham and you're an opposition manager from the next 9 games of the season, you're going to look back at the games we've lost. The Man United game is not really applicable. It feels like a different season, different personnel, different... Bentaleb played for a start. I can't remember who else did. You might be looking at the Leicester game. The Newcastle game, I think we can put down as a freak result, but you might be looking at Leicester and West Ham, and they both really... pushed us high up the pitch with that kind of Vardy, Emenike character through the middle. And I just wonder whether that's something that teams are trying to do.
The rest of our games are either, I mean, aside from United, the teams around us, we've got United left, then Liverpool and Chelsea are kind of that second tier of really difficult games, but they're not quite rivals for what we're going for at the moment. Everyone else is looking for a point off us, I think. Particularly at White Hart Lane. If you think of Bournemouth, then I do agree. That is a way that they can get a point out of us, because we might score one or two against them. But if you press our defence in the manner of West Ham and Arsenal, then yeah, by all means, that could be their way of penetrating what is the best defence in the league. So
yeah.
I don't, yeah, oh, that's horrible. After so much that we built it up this season, it's horrible to think of that now being so vulnerable.
But I'm not, no, but I wasn't saying.
No, I'm just thinking.
I was just wondering.
But yeah. If that is the case, then I do, yeah, that is a little bit of a concern. Let's move on. Let's talk about Lamela, actually, because I thought first half he was really good. I thought, and actually in particular the first 10 minutes when you had people like Ali and Dembele clearly not quite fit and who maybe wouldn't have gone for those 50-50s, Lamela was just putting his foot in all over the place. And as usual, with the ball, he was almost less effective than without it, but he was just winning tackles all over the place. And he really set the tempo for us, and I think that we kind of, maybe not let him down, but we didn't build on his high press and impetus because we had a couple of chances and then we just let it drop off a bit. But
well, I thought Kane was pressing really well, as usual.
Mm.
I thought Eriksen was pressing well. Perhaps, as you said, Ali and Dembele weren't 100% fit.
Yeah, that's
which might explain.
Five, isn't it?
Yeah.
That unit.
I thought Lamela was great, absolutely brilliant, until he got booked, is what you're going to say, isn't it?
The new Palacios.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I just think it's quite telling that in both North London derbies this year, Lamela goes off, Spurs' intensity drops, and we end up drawing the game.
Mm.
It's happened in both games. He's just such an important player, I think, to have on the pitch in that type of game. And I'm not advocating starting him every single match. I think Poch has got it right with his rotation of Lamela. He suits some games. And when it is a game, as I've said, where there's a kind of lack of quality of final ball, a lack of midfield action, full stop, then Lamela is a good player to have there because he will force the defence into mistakes and he will set the tempo with his like relentless work rate and pressing. So he's an essential part of winning those games. And as soon as he got booked, his effectiveness was limited.
Mm.
And then as soon as he went off, Spurs' effectiveness was limited.
Yeah, it's not solely down to him, but it is interesting how, as part of that unit, he does press as aggressively as anyone else. It's the aggression that's the problem, isn't it? The press amongst everyone is fine, but when you've got that aggression, it's great. But then even after he got booked, there was a couple of balls where he went for, and it wasn't a tackle, it was more a 50-50 ball, and if he got to it, it was going to be made into a pass. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was kind of, if he reached it. But if he doesn't reach it, that's a second yellow, full stop. Like it's fine, and if he's going to make those calculated risks and he's getting them right, that's great.
But we've been saying
he does strike me as the sort of person that will get one in five wrong, and he makes more.
Yeah, but you say that, but he's been playing this way for the best part of 18 months. He was doing this last season.
True, I don't think
he still hasn't been sent off.
I think
off.
He's been more aggressive in the Arsenal games though. If he'd have stayed on at the Emirates, he would have been sent off. He had a tackle right before he was pulled off at the Emirates where he stretched from behind and brought someone. Actually, the person who, I think it was Bellerin, didn't go all the way down. He just sort of stumbled. Literally within 30 seconds, he was off the pitch.
Yeah.
And we can ask a question here as well because it was
I think
Mason.
You've got to give him some credit. I mean, I remember us saying that Ali and Lamela were both going to get sent off at some point. And cost us a big game.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened yet.
No.
And Lamela's been in the team for, the best part of 18 months. So he does seem to know where the line is, and he hasn't crossed it yet.
Or Poch does,
yeah. But that amounts to the same thing.
Yeah, of course. But it would be interesting to see how many times Lamela has been brought off after being booked in a game.
It would be. But then would you have it any other way? If Poch says to Lamela, because I don't have access to him and so I can't say him personally, so I can't tell him personally, but if Poch says to Lamela, I don't want you to get booked, I want you to stay off the yellow for 90 minutes because we need you, then he's not going to be doing what he's been doing, which has been so effective, which is charging into people and closing them down. That's part of his game.
They really didn't like it, did they?
No, they didn't. He got under their skin.
Coughlin. Well, Coughlin in particular, obviously, because he retaliated first for the first foul. I think he was just really pissed off with the amount of how Dembele and Lamella were just running all over him, and I think he got annoyed with that. Second yellow is just hilariously stupid, just unbelievably stupid. It was Mason that came on for Lamella. And we mentioned the Emirates game earlier on in the season when Lamella was booked and brought off again. And it was Son that came on and replaced him on that day. And then subsequently, I think the equaliser came from a ball from Ozil. And Son was the nearest Spurs player to him. Didn't close him down. Ball goes all the way across the box and Arsenal equalise. He didn't do that this time, Pochettino. He didn't bring on Son for Lamella. It wasn't a straight swap. It was very much seemed to be maybe Mason providing the legs for Ali and Dembele before they were brought off. But it did leave us quite imbalanced. And I'm just wondering what you think about that substitution in particular. And as well, considering we were 2-1 up at the time and we had the impetus and we had the extra man, would you have rather have seen Son brought on and really go for it to try and get a third and then, you know, play out the last 10 minutes, or do you think it was just one of those things that Mason came on and then the whole team?
I wasn't unhappy with the sub at the time. It's easy to say in hindsight.
Yeah.
Son should have come on, we should have gone for the jugular. But at the time, I thought it was a good move to try and solidify the midfield, because Arsenal, Wenger, in fairness to him, really got it right with the Elneny. The Elneny pick is for his first start, I think, in the league.
His second, he played at United. Okay. Oh, it might have been his first start, yeah. Sorry,
his first start, yeah. So that was a strange pick on the face of it, but then it really helped Arsenal to solidify that midfield and not get overrun by Dembele and Dier. It made sense at the time. Yeah, in hindsight, maybe he was thinking of Son failing to press Ozil at the Emirates when he made that sub.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, Poch has really got it right.
Yeah.
Making his subs over the last few weeks, so I don't necessarily think... I just think it was one of those things. Mason came on, we drew the game. I didn't think it was particularly pivotal.
No. Walker was left quite isolated by it, though, as well. That's another thing that I did notice. Walker was... Even despite being against 10 men, Walker found himself up against Sanchez and Welbeck quite a lot.
Yeah.
And we were pulled around a little bit, and I just felt like there was almost too many of the same thing in midfield. We had four central midfielders on.
Okay.
At one point.
The problem is, Chadley might have been the obvious pick, but he was so poor against West Ham.
He was
like,
really bad.
Diabolically bad. That was possibly on Poch's mind. I think one thing that I was thinking about this week that hasn't been mentioned much is everyone's talking about how young the Spurs team is. But not many people have mentioned the fact that Pochettino is also one of the youngest managers in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He was, 44 last week?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point.
Wenger, Pellegrini, Van Gaal, Ranieri are all late 60s. So they've got 20, 25 years on Pochettino.
And a few trophies as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Klopp, who's not that much older than him, has won a couple of titles. Pochettino's never been in this position before, so he's got to the point where he's done so well that he's almost become unimpeachable and no one's really questioning him. Which is, he deserves it because he's been absolutely brilliant. But I suppose it's just worth pointing out that he's not as experienced as the managers he's competing against, just as our team isn't as experienced as the squads they're competing against, with the exception of Leicester. So it might happen
that
he gets it wrong.
I suppose we've done a bit too much on... Not been negative as such, but I don't think it was a particularly negative result, just a bit
downhearted.
Yeah,
we should say that I think it... Everyone was focused on their equaliser, the second goal. That became the sort of pivotal moment of the match. But the fact that Spurs turned it round so quickly.
Yeah.
And the fact that Kane's goal was so glorious.
I was going to say, we should definitely... Amazing. We need to touch on Kane's goal, because it was better than I thought on first glance.
Oh, it was such a good goal.
It was... He's hard... He's, on the edge of the box, isn't he? But I mean, he's at the side of the box, and to finish like that,
it wasn't a very Kane finish either. Kane is tends to sort of shift the ball out of his feet, left or right foot, and drill it quite low. But that was it was like he opened his body and just curled it effortlessly into the far corner.
It was perfect.
I can't think of many other goals he scored like that. I mean, which is great. It just shows that he's improving his
game. He scores every single type of goal.
He's improving his repertoire. It was,
and that celebration as well. Just
flinging off his mask.
Last year was, I mean, that was glorious. That second goal, and he does celebrate, but he almost looks as if he's kind of overcome by the fact that we've won the game in a way. But with the goal on Saturday. There's stills of him running away, and his face is almost you can see the back of his head through his mouth, like he's just absolutely, he's going crazy. And obviously 3 minutes after we'd got an equaliser, whole stadium is just going mad. And I do think we all thought that we'd won the game.
Mm.
You know, it's a shame. It deserved to be the winning goal, and it's such a shame that it won't go down, is it? But that's one of the best North London derby goals, definitely.
Yeah, if you score, I was thinking, if you score one in a North London derby to win it or to level things up in an important one, you're pretty much at legend status already.
Yeah,
you know, Danny Rose doesn't need to do a great deal else. He could go back to Danny Rose 2 years ago.
Yeah,
be sold to Sunderland, but we'd still sing his name.
Thanks for the volley. Yeah.
Kane's there now.
He is. Yeah,
I mean,
he must have as many goals as anyone from Premier League years. He's got four now, isn't he? He's got two...
Arsenal.
He has four league goals.
It's a good question,
Arsenal.
Actually. It would be a little...
I think only Sheringham must be close. I can't think of anyone else that must have enough. Van der Vaart, I suppose.
Van der Vaart.
Three or four, didn't he? But, I mean, Van der Vaart...
Defoe, Keno,
I don't know. I think Defoe got many. One or two.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, he's got... more.
Oh, that's the thing. I feel like he's already got that legend status, but it's not something to talk about because there's so much more that he can do and will do.
Yeah.
Not only in these games, but in a Spurs shirt.
He's a big game player, and at 22? Is he 22 yet?
22. And there was a lot of talk before the game. He hadn't scored from open play in six games. He looked a bit sluggish, and it's just, what a way to answer.
Yeah, and he doesn't, it's not as if he runs away doing the whole kind of, you know, that's what you were saying, because he did it earlier on in the season, didn't he? He went eight games without a goal, scored against City, but it was never a personal thing. It was always about the team, helping the team to a victory. And that's kind of felt like what it was on Saturday. It was a personal, an incredible personal moment because of the goal. But just going to celebrate in the same corner and doing the same celebration of sliding on his arse, you know, it was just incredible. That's almost as gutting for me as the equaliser, that wasn't the winning goal.
Yeah.
As much as I was disappointed with the defending and the final score, whatever.
And the context of it as well. To put 6 points ahead of the Scum, to go top of the league, albeit briefly.
Yeah.
It really did. It really was a sickener, that Sanchez goal. That it felt like a defeat.
Yeah, it did.
Just because of the context and the circumstances around that equaliser. But nonetheless, take nothing away from Kane.
Yeah. Yeah, he did get lost in amongst... If that had been a winning goal, it would have been played over, along with Ali's goal, I think, against Palace. But, okay, well, we touched on West Ham briefly, and that was the worst performance I think we've given this season.
Given the opposition, I still think Newcastle was worse. Newcastle are a dreadful team. West Ham are
play poorly, I think.
Not that it matters a jot, but Newcastle are a horrible team, and West Ham are. We've got to give West Ham credit. I think they played really well.
Yeah, they were really good, and I do think theirs was an avoidable goal, but if it didn't happen through those means, I think it would have happened.
Yeah, we were pretty lucky to go in at half-time, 1-0 down.
What do you think went wrong in particular? Do you think it was just a case of we were rotating, clearly rotating the same positions we rotate in midweek as we do when we're playing a Europa League game ahead of Arsenal? His selections were criticised in the cup game earlier,
we've already touched on it. I do think this week highlighted Tottenham's inexperience. Pochettino made the point of saying absolutely not, it's not about that. But the thing we had to do going to Upton Park on Wednesday, given the occasion, given it was the last game there between Spurs and West Ham, their cup final, given that they had a chance to really boost their own European hopes and really dent our title hopes, the thing we had to do was keep it tight for 20 minutes. It's obviously easier said than done. Sometimes you just can't. But not give away anything silly. Let the atmosphere simmer down a bit and then start to impose on them our style of football. But that's the opposite of what we did. We were goal down, a sloppy, sloppy goal down within 7 minutes.
Chadley panicked, didn't he?
Yeah, Chadley was horrific. And yeah, it was bad marking. It was just an all-round terrible goal to concede. And I think as soon as that happened, it was going to be so difficult to come back from that, because I was in the ground and it was a really impressive atmosphere. The whole place was just so up for it, especially once they scored. And if you'd let that die a little bit, even just get to half time, then
that is what champions do, isn't it?
You know,
I used to do it all
just
the time.
kill the occasion a bit, and then play your football after the break. But we didn't do it, and I mean, I don't buy that it was kind of symptomatic of the beginning of a drop off, or that it was dreadful. Sometimes that just happens. The other team wants it a bit more. I suppose maybe had their eye on the derby.
It reminded me of the United loss. There wasn't...
I can barely remember that loss.
It was kind of... There wasn't a lot between the sides, but whoever scored the first goal was going to win the game. As impressive as West Ham were, it was... Against United, it was kind of... It looked like a 1-0 loss. Before the game even started, if you watched the whole game, you could just say it was just a 1-0 to the home team. And that's almost how the West Ham game went. We didn't do quite enough to lose by more, but we didn't do quite enough to equalise or win the game.
Yeah, I mean, the way Pochettino put it afterwards was, he said, he basically did his equivalent of saying, Aries, it was one of those days.
Yeah.
He said that the players just had an off day, and then their passing was off, their football was off.
Yeah.
And as much as I think it is the job of journalists and commentators and fans to question a manager's explanation and not let them get away with it, there's probably an element of truth in that as well. Sometimes you just have bad days.
You can't get it right every single time. Yeah, and particularly as a young team as we are.
Yeah, and it is, people talk about the tactics, but Spurs just weren't passing the ball straight. Like we kept just passing to them.
Yeah.
Or just being a couple of inches off with a pass, and that makes all the difference.
And we took a lot of risks.
A lot of heavy touches, a lot of... Yeah, Lloris took a lot of risks at the back. He's done that. He's going to get caught out at some point.
He nearly did against Arsenal as well. Yeah. Just sometimes... I love him, and he saves us 10 to 15 points a season, but sometimes just kick it. Just kick it. Yeah, I mean, it's great that he's so confident that he can do it, and he never looks flustered, even when it goes wrong and he gets blocked and it flies wide or out for a throw. He never looks as if he's like, sorry. It's always just kind of meh. Yeah, it's very French again. It's an interesting what's the word I'm looking for? The fact that West Ham was midweek and very similar to the Europa League lineup that we put out usually. But it is interesting that we've got Dortmund coming up on this Thursday. Is it this Thursday? It is, yeah. You are going, aren't you?
I'm going, yeah.
Insanely jealous.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you think, regardless of result, or are you looking at this as a... A lot of people are sort of saying, you know what, doesn't matter, we're going to Dortmund, it's a great tie, great stadium, let's just see what happens. Or are you thinking, you know, Because this time last week,
yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it like that. I'm looking at it like a free hit.
Yeah.
Because if Spurs win against Dortmund, then amazing. We've beaten one of the favourites, Europa League.
Yeah.
Absolutely no reason now why we shouldn't go on to win the Europa League.
Yeah.
Because if we beat Dortmund, we're gonna have to play really well.
Yeah.
And
I think this is a really good indicator as well of what you were saying the other day. It's staying in the Europa League will. It keeps a player's mind occupied away from the pressure of the league, which it is building more and more, but it keeps that form going. And just, you were saying, people like Son love to play three games yeah. a week. When it is interesting, particularly after a bad week that we've had, I don't think I'd want the players to spend a whole week leading up to a game like Villa that we should be going out and winning 3-0
yeah.
at least. I wouldn't want the players thinking too much about that game. I would rather go to Dortmund and even if we lost 1-0, we're still in the tie, but I also think that it cuts down the thinking time for the Villa game, and we can focus fully on it. And I do think that there's so much truth. When if things are going really well and we're sort of smashing it, you saying that I want to stay in Europa League, it gives us another focus, feels like it could detract a little bit. But now that we've had that bad week, I'm really on board with that. I was sort of on board with you before, but I'm really thinking that this could be a perfect week for us to come back to. It snap us back into a bit of
focus. I agree. I do think there's a case, though, that it's really important that we got through against Fiorentina to keep the focus, keep the squad happy, keep them distracted. But there's definitely a case that it wouldn't be the end of the world to go out against Dortmund.
Because
the Dortmund games are before Villa and Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And we should be beating both those teams.
Yeah.
Is
this the last 16 or the quarters?
Last 16.
Christ.
There's a long way to go.
If we get through, I think it's ridiculous.
I think the games will be before Liverpool and Man United.
Yeah.
And the squad is looking a bit leggy. Kane's looking a bit leggy.
Kane is definitely.
Dyer's looking a bit leggy. Ali's carrying two injuries, apparently.
Dyer's getting himself a rest, though, isn't he? He's on his way to a rest.
He's going to get a double game ban.
So with that in mind, what's your thinking for the Dortmund lineup?
Presuming
we go full strength against Villa.
Yeah, I think he's got to go full strength against Villa. The psychological impact of losing that or not winning that comfortably on morale. If we drew 1-1 at Villa Park after the week we've just had, it wouldn't be good.
No.
So he's got to go full strength. I think Poch will probably play Chadli against Dortmund up front.
Yeah, I think he'll probably play 45 in both games.
Maybe. He doesn't tend to do that, does he? He does 65 or bench.
I'd have Kane in. I mean, it's never going to happen, but if I was looking at it, I'd have Kane second half against Dortmund. Some slightly tired legs that might be kind of on a par with his quite tired legs. Playing for the first half against Villa, get the job done, take him off. And I know it's so dangerous, and there's never going to be any manager that does that, let alone.
I mean, Villa got City to 0-0 at half time the other day.
Yeah,
there's no
true.
Guarantee you're going to score a couple of
that's
goals,
true.
Is there? I think Pochettino might play Kane against Dortmund because he's not an idiot. Spurs aren't the favourites for that tie.
No.
I think Dortmund are a better team.
Yeah.
And they're a more experienced team. So he might just be thinking to himself, let's play Kane. Let's see if we can get a surprise result here. And if we go out, he's only got 9 more league games.
Mm.
So I think we could see him risked. I would probably be tempted to play Chadli. I think he did all right against Fiorentina.
What about Son? Do you think Son?
Because
Son really
Son
needs
play
to
in
some
the,
minutes, I think.
He'll play in the three, won't he?
Yeah,
I imagine,
I usually think they
switch. Because Ali's not fit.
Chadli usually. Yeah, that's true.
Ali's suspended, rather.
Yeah, that's a real blessing as well.
Yeah.
You know, you want your best players, but Ali having a week off now is. You've got to look at the player management more than the team at the moment with such a young player. You don't want him picking up an injury that takes him out of the summer. You know, if you pick up a groin strain in May or a sorry, you tear a hamstring or a groin in May, that can take you through to July. You miss a lot of pre-season, and that's where most of our good work's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm just, I think this is a real blessing to give Ali a week off.
I think there would also be a case for not playing him against Villa.
Do you think?
Yeah, just to give him that time to fully get over. I don't think he was fit in the West Ham and Arsenal games.
No.
He wasn't fit to start West Ham, obviously, given the circumstances. I think Pochettino, if Spurs had been winning that 1-0, he probably wouldn't have come on.
No.
I think he was
he was very
such a good player, and he's become so important for us that it was the same against Watford. Remember, yeah, he was had the dizzy spell against Norwich.
Yeah, true.
He was on the bench, but we couldn't break them down, so he had to come on, and he had to end up turning the game. I think if Pochettino will use Ali at 60% because he's that good.
Yeah,
but that's true. Still doesn't mean he's not at 60%.
Yeah. Do you think, just back on the Dortmund lineup and the Villa game as well, it's interesting that we haven't seen, I don't know if he's injured, you might know, you have a little bit more in-depth knowledge of this, but we've not seen Tom Carroll for a while.
He's been injured.
Oh, he has been injured. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, he came back against West Ham and Arsenal.
Did he come on against Arsenal? Oh, he did come on against West Ham.
He came on against West Ham. I thought he came on against Arsenal in the last few minutes. He's fit again now. Yeah, he might start against Dortmund.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that. I think he's, I mean, we don't know that much about Dortmund. They're not the same team that went to Champions League final.
I haven't watched the Bundesliga once this season.
No, but they've still got Royce.
As bad as that is for me to admit, and the danger man is Aubameyang. He scored about 30 goals already. Yeah.
Be a good backup.
Yeah, at least you could say Wimmer. Wimmer knows the Bundesliga. There's a case that Wimmer is kind of the weak link at the moment in the team, even when Trippier and Davis start.
Mm.
But he knows the Bundesliga. He's played those guys before. There's the weak link, or is it?
No, sorry, as a bit of a prior knowledge of.
Yeah, he knows the Bundesliga as well. So I think they'll probably both start on because of.
We just need to stay in the tie, don't we? Really.
Yeah.
Get to White Hart Lane and anything can happen. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, I think. This is the biggest European tie we've had in years. Yeah. You can argue Basel and Benfica Benfica was the same stage, wasn't it? But Basel was the quarterfinals, and we only went out in penalties. But in terms of opposition and how good we are, this is a really big game for us, and I'd love us to take them to White Hart Lane and have a... Even if we go out, and like you say, there is a silver lining to that, but...
Yeah, I mean,
we took them back to White Hart Lane and gave them a really good tie, and they went away thinking, you know what, if we meet them in the Champions League next season or something, we're in for a game. You know, I want to leave an impression, that's all I'm saying.
Make no mistake, like, Dortmund won't be relishing that tie.
Yeah.
Or they will, but they won't be expecting it to be a walkover. I think they'll look at the Premier League table for starters.
Yeah.
And know that we're
not... Who is Leicester?
Yeah. And know that we're not a bad team. So, yeah, I think it's a huge game. And yeah, if we can just score on Thursday in Germany, that's huge. Just getting an away goal.
Mm.
The problem is there's kind of lessons to be learned from Arsenal. At Barcelona, I know it's completely different. Dortmund and Barcelona aren't really comparable, but Arsenal were well in the tie at 0-0.
Yeah.
Oh, they were at home, I suppose, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Well, the point I was going to make was they were well in the tie at 0-0, and I think, you know, they sort of panicked and thought, we've got to get a goal.
Yeah.
A goal is important, but a 0-0 draw in Germany wouldn't be the worst thing.
No. I think it's Ferguson used to say, a 0-0 away draw in knockout, it was the most dangerous result, because all they needed to do was go back and score.
Yeah, that's true.
But we certainly wouldn't be against it at all. And I think sandwiched between... Is it next week, Dortmund home game?
Yeah, sandwiched
in between Villa and Bournemouth, when hopefully against Villa, if we can do the job without one, maybe two of our best players this season, if Ali's maybe not fit enough, if we can get that job done... We move on to Dortmund, and then we move on to Bournemouth, and you just think in the space of time that we've played those four games, as energy sapping as it may be, it could bring everything back on track, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Even if we went out to Dortmund, two good performances sandwiched between 6 points at Villa and at home to Bournemouth, that could be pretty big, couldn't it? That brings everything back on.
Everyone, you know, there's that old cliche that you're only as bad as your last result, but I don't really buy that. You know, Spurs have had a couple of mixed results, but we still won 6 on the bounce in the league before that.
Yeah.
And beat Fiorentina, who are like third in the Serie A, and comfortably beat them as well.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of reason to be really optimistic. And if we... I don't think we have to beat Dortmund, as I said, but I think as long as we give them a really good tie and beat Villa and Bournemouth, the whole club's going to be feeling so positive again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But they are big ifs, you know. There aren't really that any easy games. I mean, Villa's the closest thing you're going to have to an easy game. But Bournemouth, they'll give us a game.
Absolutely. And then again, Bournemouth one more win and they can be in a position of just coasting for the rest of the season. I know they won't, but
yeah,
I do wonder. But okay, do you want to have a little break and then we can come back and do
questions,
etc. I'm seeing you in a sec. Welcome back to the Tottenham Way podcast. We were talking before about everything, really. I think we've...
Tottenham.
Everything Spurs, yes, for the week just gone and the week coming up. We've got some listener questions as usual. Let's just go through them. Stoof at Stoof Mugsy. What's your best goal celebration related injury? It's a good question, that.
Someone's injured themselves celebrating.
What's your personal? So, what have you ever injured yourself celebrating a Spurs goal?
Oh. I don't think I have. Someone was on the pod that said they got glass. Was that you?
I didn't get glass.
You smashed a bottle.
Oh yeah, I've had a few actually. There was AC Milan, Crouch at AC Milan. There was a group of guys that... Well, my mate said to me, do you want to come down the pub and watch it? Said, we've got about 12 Spurs and it's a tiny place, so we'll pack it out.
Yeah.
Basically, it'll be kind of, you'll sing and all that. So yeah, definitely, we've got to do that. And then I just got a new pint. Crouch scored. And obviously everyone's kind of piling in and throwing each other around. And I looked in my hand and I just had this shard of glass left in my hand and the rest of the pint was on the floor. And luckily I didn't... So I wasn't squeezing it or anything, but it sort of just cut my fingers a little bit. But you know when you're like, this could have been really nasty.
Yeah.
But even so, Crouch, it was amazing. I punched...
Oh, I've just... this is so pathetic.
Come on.
When Crouch scored at City to put us in the Champions League, I got a nosebleed celebrating.
Did you... What, so...
I was at uni and I was just in a horrible student house, and I got all the Spurs fans I knew at Newcastle and just watched it in someone's house. It might have been mine, I can't remember. And I was just on the sofa, and when we were all really drunk, and when he scored, we just jumped up in a huddle and just jumping around. And I just came out of it with a nosebleed. Might have been standing up too quickly, I might have been caught by something. I don't know what it was.
Worth it though. Yeah. I ended up, I think it was the Chelsea Cup final, and the one that we won.
Yeah.
And I ended up smoking loads. Like I usually smoke menthol because I'm asthmatic, right? And I appreciate how stupid it is for me to smoke.
That's fucking stupid.
Ever smoked.
Yeah.
But I think I was smoking like Marlboro as well. So I have quite harsh cigarettes because it's the only things that I could afford at the time. And I smoked so much in extra time that I ended up having an asthma attack on Waterloo Bridge and ended up in St. Thomas's Hospital.
Oh my God.
Linked up to like a machine and they were just like, we're going to take x-rays and stuff, but basically you've smoked yourself into a hospital. I was like,
fucking brilliant. Idiot.
Yeah, great days.
I can't compete with that. Yeah, it'll have to be the nosebleed. I smashed my remote control when Mendes didn't score at Old Trafford and hurt my dog.
You hurt your dog?
I've told you this before.
I think you said the thing about the control.
My old dog, R.I.P. Alfie, he was just lying in front of me and Mendes, the goal wasn't given or whatever, and I just hurled the remote control at the TV. I can't remember if it cracked the TV. I don't think it did, but it certainly broke the remote.
Yeah.
And then I would, sort of found myself on my feet, and I sort of stepped on his rib cage.
Oh no!
Yeah, you know, he did that noise the dogs do, like really high pitched yelp that just like really pulls your heartstrings.
Yeah,
it makes you feel so terrible.
And then they apologise to you.
Yeah,
they jump up and like, you're all right.
Yeah, and I was like, oh god, it was just.
Do you ever, like, when you're talking about the TV, when you do something stupid because of football, and you because of Spurs, do you ever? Like in the instant, in the second that you've done it, if you break something, it's just like, oh, you're such an idiot. Like, the embarrassment that I get.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think we were playing, I can't remember who it was, but it was about 14, and we went 2-0 up, and we eventually lost the game 3-2, and it was a cup game, and it was on BBC. And I was watching it, so I was about 13, 14 at the time, and I think, I just remember this spoon was sitting next to me on the desk where I was watching TV, and we conceded the final goal, and I was picked up and just lobbed it at the wall, like, really hard, and there's just this huge crack in the wall. Well, not huge, but it's like a perfect spoon shape, curved crack in the wall. And my mum just still doesn't really know why it's there, but she'll listen to this, so she'll probably find out. But yeah, I just remember being like, oh, why have you done that? Like, you're pathetic. Why have you done this? Why have you damaged your own house because of Tottenham Hotspur?
Yeah, I'm normally quite good. If I'm with a group, if Spurs are winning an important game, I'll be like really talkative and chatty. And then if it's going badly, I just kind of sit in silence.
Yeah.
Like, not that, just watching the game. And then it's just embarrassing how quickly I changed. You know, if I was actually watching the Arsenal game just at home, one of my housemates was in, but she did not care.
Yeah.
So I was basically watching it alone. And if I'd been with a group of mates, I would have been quiet the whole game until Kane's goal.
Yeah.
Then I would have talked relentlessly for 14 minutes, then I would have been quiet.
Yeah. I was on Twitter constantly through that when we were 2-1 up. Kind of talking to everyone, and it is, it's that we've talked about it in the main bit of the pod. Everyone thought it was done.
Well, I blame myself because I texted my cousin, was like, which pub we go to if this stays the same.
Oh, yeah.
I was certainly going to try and get you out if this stays the same.
I went and bought a laptop afterwards. I was like, Sarah, my fiance, was like, do you want to sit around the house and stew, or do you want to go and do something? I was like, what's something? Like, this has to be something good. And she went, do you want to go to Lewisham and get a laptop? And there was only one half of that sentence that appealed to me, but luckily it was the laptop bit, and we went and got a laptop. So, yeah. Well, in terms of injuries, I did punch myself in the face when Kane scored on Saturday. Not very hard, but I got up, did the initial kind of roar, and I did the, you know, you do that under your breath, under your breath, guttural. But loud. Yeah. And as I was doing that, I kind of bent down and my fist didn't move, so I headbutted my fist rather than punch myself in the face, to be honest. Andrew Gaffney at Gaffney VLC, formerly Spurs Spaniel. Our first choice reserve lineup lost to West Ham. Can we afford to do the same against Dortmund? And on the back of that, Charlie Parrish has come in, is resting everyone against Dortmund. Sorry, everyone who's important against Dortmund, imperative for the Villa game. We have kind of covered this, but is it got to that stage of the season where, despite how fit we are, do we just have to rest the likes of Dembele, Kane, Lloris, Alderweireld, Dyer?
I just don't think we can afford to not play them against Villa.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, yeah, Villa are horrendously bad. But if we don't take that game as seriously as any other league game, then we could get stung. And I don't buy that would be catastrophic for the season. I don't buy that the last week's been catastrophic, but it would be hard to come back from drawing at Villa Park. Drawing at Villa Park is as bad as losing badly somewhere else, more or less, because they are that desperate. So we need to go into that game full strength, take it seriously, and then, as you said, if we get 3-0 up on 60 minutes, then Kane, Dier, Ali, if he's playing, can come off, or Dembele, Kane, and Dier can come off.
I think we've...
There's no reason why we can't... But that's how we have to approach it. So, I think with the Dortmund game, we know he'll change the fullbacks.
Yeah.
We know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
He'll I suspect he'll change... He has to change Ali.
Yeah.
And I suspect he might change Kane.
And Dembele, I think.
And possibly Dembele. Yeah, mate, and possibly Dembele for Mason. So,
yeah.
There'll probably be about 5 key players rested.
But, you know, Mason coming in, Son, Chadli, probably, let's say, between Carroll and Bentaleb.
I don't think Bentaleb's going to play.
Do you not? You've not got anything?
Well, he played in the under-21s the other night. He wasn't...
True.
Which was quite telling, because it was Thursday night, and it essentially ruled him out of even being on the bench against Arsenal.
Yeah. He asked to as well, didn't he?
Well, apparently. That's what Pochettino said. I think you've got to... consider the possibility that that's not 100% completely true.
Strange.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he said the same about Townsend, which was probably the case, but it's better to say someone asked to play than I told them to play. So it was all
that's
the point I'm making. But yeah. I think Bentaleb will probably travel, but I don't think he'll start against Dortmund.
No. It'd be good, though. I mean, I know he's been out of form, but if there's ever a game for him to get back to the basics that you said a couple of weeks ago that he needs to get back to and do what he did last season, this would be a really good opportunity for him. It's a shame.
Yeah, but you don't want to be risking bringing an out of form player back into form and an unfit player at Borussia Dortmund.
Well, true. In front of 80,000 get himself. Absolutely. But were Dier to, you know, pull up with some wear and tear, you've suddenly got to do that for the rest of the season, haven't you, Bentaleb?
Yeah.
It's more than likely that Bentaleb would be the most direct replacement. I'd be worried if it... Well, I'd be worried if
I'm not sure Pochettino sees it that way, but... Yeah, I would make the 5 changes, probably, including Kane. Lloris will start with...
Not sure.
Yeah, I think Lloris will play.
Vaughan played both against Fiorentina.
Oh, yeah, but Lloris was injured, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, he was injured for that one.
He
hurt his shoulder making the save against City in the last minute.
Ah, he did. Yes, he did.
So yeah. I think Lloris will play both games against Dortmund.
Yeah, that's fair enough. William at Will Colwell 94. I still believe Leicester collapse is imminent. Am I crazy? Pretty much.
Not crazy, but I don't think they'll collapse. But they might leak enough. There's no reason why they won't leak enough points.
Mm.
To catch them, but I can't see them collapsing.
Yeah, I don't think collapse is the way to describe it. I just, if we're still in with a chance on the last game of the season and we're, say, 3 points behind, I'd still say that there is as much chance of them losing a final game as do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't put my house on.
They've got three really tough fixtures, haven't they? They've got Man U, Everton, and Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah, their last three.
Actually, Everton
and Chelsea. You never know. I think
Chelsea. Someone made the point a couple of weeks ago that Chelsea will be potentially stopping their ex-manager from winning the title at Stamford Bridge.
At the ground, yeah.
Which has got to be an incentive.
Could be, yeah. And it'll be Hiddink's, possibly his last game. He likes to finish, although the FA Cup will be his last game. He always wins the FA Cup.
Mm.
I know it's only been once, but they're just going to win the FA Cup. I think it's nailed on, isn't it? We've been waiting for it all season. So I don't see why it should happen now. I think the game against Watford was as impressive as their win against City a couple of weeks ago. It just going away to a decent side. Although, do you know what really annoys me? There is a way of playing against Leicester, which West Brom showed. You sit a little bit deeper, you don't play too up top, you flood the midfield, you don't allow Kante and Drinkwater to control the play and Vardy and Mahrez to run at you. Watford played 2 up front, and I know they're at home, and it's kind of what they do, but if you're going to stop a team from beating you, then they're top of the league for a reason. Any other team, I reckon they would have done 4-5-1 or 3-5-2, whatever. But it just, it's like, can these teams just stop doing this, please? Like you said about teams are working out how to score against us or stop us building from the back, then why is nobody doing it against Leicester? It's really annoying. And it's they're not taking nothing away from Leicester. They're very impressive. But you do wonder if people just are treating them almost as if, treating them on their reputation rather than their form at the moment.
Yeah. But you'd have thought that would have stopped after the City game in particular.
Yeah, it's just...
I think there's a chance that if Spurs and Leicester are still in this kind of position with, say, 4 or 5 games to go, when the Premier League trophy is like so close you can taste it and it really is must win, then that'll be telling, because one or both could easily crack, like Liverpool cracked.
Yeah.
Because that's when it really, really matters. You could argue at the moment that Leicester are still far enough away. There's still a quarter of the season to go.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah,
you can argue that they're, you know, it's not so close they can touch it, they're dreaming about it, yeah. But when it gets to that crunch last 5 games period where you've just got to win, you've got to keep on winning, and you're tired and the pressure's really on.
We have to be there, don't we, to take advantage if it happens.
Yeah, and
that's got to be our focus.
Yeah, and it could you know, it could easily happen to Spurs as well, and we could slip back to third or fourth, and that's why I think a couple of weeks ago I did think City were out of it and we beat them, but now it's, you suddenly look and they're not that many points behind, they've got that goal in hand and they've got the experience. They're horribly off form, but they're not likely to crack in the last 5 games because they've got guys like Aguero and Toure leading, who have done it all before.
Yeah, it's true. But luckily, I think Spurs as a team, particularly what we've shown this year, is that we do rise to that adversity. And if you lose a game, and I know we didn't beat Arsenal, but we did come pretty close, and we should have closed it out. I think everyone knows that, particularly the players. But you know, that was a good way of responding to the West Ham game. And dropping 5 points this week has obviously brought fifth place a lot closer and put first place a little bit more out of reach. But if there's one thing that you can sort of always say about us, is that we can brush stuff off and start again. And then, like say, Villa and Bournemouth are the perfect games for that, or arguably, on paper, they're the perfect games for it. And we've really got to take advantage of that. 6 points from the next 2 league games. Otherwise, I do think we're out of it.
Yeah.
Anything less than 6 points, I think we're done for. In terms of the title.
Yeah, with Liverpool and United coming up as well.
Yeah. But you know, against, even then, like United at home, that'd be pretty amazing. But yeah. Do you want to do the Vertonghen question, or do you think we covered it?
I haven't seen it. Let me have a look.
Have we missed Jan more than we thought? Since his injury, it feels like we've conceded more, especially early on. That's from Gavin Lewis at Spursy Gav.
Should we do it really briefly?
Yeah, I think if I can just quickly answer it on my part. When Vertonghen got injured and we knew that it was Wimmer coming in, I think I said at the time, we need to expect, I said it on the pod, I'm sure, that we need to just expect that we will be conceding 1 or 2 more, or a higher rate of goals than we were previously, because the Vertonghen and that Alderweireld partnership is so good. But it's not been so noticeable that, you know, with Jan, I know you say that we probably don't concede those 2 goals against Arsenal maybe, but then without Wimmer, maybe we'd have lost 3-2 on Saturday. That last ditch tackle, it's all balancing out and you're never going to know for sure. But I think it was to be expected that we were going to concede a few more goals.
Yeah, I think Wimmer, when Jan got injured, we all didn't really know what to expect from Wimmer, because he'd literally had a couple of games in the Europa League and domestic cups, and that was it. And no one was really sure how good he was. And he's generally been brilliant and surprised everyone. I think in the last few games, there was that initial kind of, particularly after the City game, there was an initial kind of like, oh, Wimmer's absolutely brilliant. Mm. Like, what I mean, and he's a great find. The fact that he was basically an unknown random playing for Cologne.
Four and a half million.
Yeah. And he's come in and he will have played a big part in us getting Champions League football if that's what happens. He deserves a lot of credit, but I think there have been signs in the last few games that perhaps haven't been picked up on. He is still a bit raw. He makes quite a lot of clumsy challenges.
Yeah.
He goes into the back of people a lot. He gives away quite a lot of silly fouls, I think.
Yeah.
He makes quite a lot of rash lunges.
Yeah.
I'm not wanting to criticise him, but he's still rough around the edges is what I'm trying to say. Even though he's done incredibly well. So I do think we've missed Yit Jan. And I think, it'll be noticeable when he comes back, I suppose.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's not hugely noticeable that he's gone.
Yeah.
But when he steps back in, we'll go, oh, okay.
How far away do you know? If there's anything
I don't know
said?
Anything. I don't know anything.
About That's why you're on.
Yeah. He was supposed to be coming back at the end of March.
Okay, so we've still got quite a few games to get through.
Yeah. I think we can cross our fingers it'll be back for Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last question then from Brett Nurse, who is at BR Nurse. Really good question to finish on, actually. Can you recall any other Champagne Spurs moments that have been as spectacularly pissed upon as Kane's goal on Saturday?
That's a really good question.
It's a great question. And without digging too far into our memories, I don't think there are that many that we can think of. You know, we could probably dig out.
I think
out
one of the... Either. Yeah, the problem is as soon as a champagne moment is pissed upon, it's not a champagne moment, so
yeah.
It's less memorable.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you're looking at the glorious... The fact that Kane's goal was so good.
Yeah.
And then the result didn't reflect how good that goal was. The one that came to mind for me, and it's not on the same level, but going 3-0 up at home to United.
Yeah.
You know, a champagne moment, everyone was pretty much thinking the game was over at half time. And then that was such a huge amount of piss that Man United dumped straight onto us for that second half.
Yeah.
Yeah, we came off.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yellow and drenched, unfortunately.
I'm struggling a little bit.
It is tough.
I'm trying to think of sort of great goals that have meant nothing or meant less than they should have done.
Yeah. It's not an easy one at all. Well, I'd say if someone else asked as well, Danny Rose's goal or Harry Kane's goal? The North London Derby goals.
Yeah, Rose's goal, because we won the game. That's it, isn't it?
And
you're more likely to remember it.
Yeah, a bit further out, a volley, debut.
Yeah.
Who the hell is he? Why is he playing right wing?
Yeah.
The fact that we still ask him to shoot whenever he gets the ball anywhere near that area. Kane's goal was certainly, I think Rose's was a hit and hope, but it was a hell of a hit and it went in. But Kane's was, as a goal scorer, that's a amazing goal to score, but
I'll try and I'll come back to Brett on Twitter. I can't think of any now.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a really tough question. A good question, but we don't get many champagne moments anyway, let alone ones that just get instantly taken away from us. All right, cool. That's been good pods. Very enjoyable. Nice two-parter that we had there.
Yeah.
We should say that we're recording in my living room this week.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Oh, thanks. We've now done one in each. When did we do the one at yours?
It was just after Christmas, wasn't it?
Was it after Watford? Or before Watford?
It might have been before Watford.
Yeah, that rings a bell. That was a sort of a really hungover, tired...
Yeah, it's quite a bleak pod.
It was a bit. Despite the joy of obviously beating Norwich and that, it really was quite a... Yeah, we needed a good 10 hours after that.
Yeah.
But change of venue for this week.
Anyway, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of the Tottenham Way podcast. We'll be back next week with a Dortmund review and hopefully an Aston Villa win review as well, because we are both going on Sunday, supposedly. Yeah, so fingers crossed for that. Thank you very much for joining us. See you next week. Come on, you Spurs.